Morning, everyone. I'm going to adjust this back a little bit. Thanks, Mark. That's much better. Thank you. I want to talk. I don't want to eat. It is a beautiful day out. It was a very nice ride over. I'm looking forward to this afternoon. Good to see Harold and Tina back again. You're welcome. Good. While I was growing up, I used to love to watch any magic show that I could find on TV. In my childhood days, David Copperfield was the premier star illusionist. I could hardly wait to see what impossibility that he was going to do next. Magic or illusions are entertaining and exciting and are designed to trick you, puzzle you, and leave you wanting to see more. As I got older, I came to realize that magic, at least the entertainment kind, was nothing more than a big bag of lies. It was one big deception. You see, a magician or illusionist does not do anything. They do nothing more than master the art of distraction, get our attention away from the truth by offering bait in order to get our attention from what is really going on. The illusion or tricks work because you're made to believe that it's real because you are first giving some truth. And then you're led away by the camouflaging of the truth, causing a deception. As a result, your attention is diverted away from what's being concealed, thus misleading you by a false appearance, causing a deception of what has really happened or is happening. Most of the time, the magician is successful in deceiving you into thinking that something is when it really isn't. Being deceived by a magician for entertainment's sake, for the sake of the trick, is exciting. In fact, it's appealing. It's impressive. But it is just all for fun. Today I'd like to spend a few minutes talking about a more serious form of deception. And in fact, it is a downright dangerous one. I'd like to talk about falling prey to Satan's deception. We have to be careful because deception has many different forms and meanings. Deception is also known as hypocrisy, falsehood, lies, inconsistencies, wolves in sheep's clothing, distractions, concealment, disguise, illusion, subtle, crafty, cunning, and illuminating. And the list goes on and on. Let's take a look at a deception that we are very familiar with. It's the one that took place in the Garden of Eden between Satan and Eve. Please turn with me to Genesis 3. Genesis 3, and we will read verses 1 through 6. Genesis 3, verses 1 through 6. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in that day you eat, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to her eyes, and a tree desiring to make one wise, she took its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate as well. Satan was successful in creating a deception that Eve fell prey to. Let's take a brief look of what Satan was able to do here. In verse 1, Satan was able to distract Eve by his subtle wording. He replied to Eve by asking a question of her that was designed to cause doubt. Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden? Then in verses 4 and 5, we see that Satan was successful in getting Eve to engage with him in conversation. This was a costly mistake. She should have turned away. I mean, after all, the other animals in the garden didn't talk. And this was a snake, the lowliest of all the creation. She should have turned away by getting Eve involved in conversation. Satan was able to start mixing up the truth. In verse 6 came the choice. Eve fell to the deception instead of standing for truth. She chose the serpent, Satan, over God. She chose what appeared to be good. She let human reasoning influence her decision. Eve didn't turn to God. She could have asked him to see if she understood his instruction correctly. God's always there available for us. But she didn't. Satan has been deceiving us from the very beginning and will not stop deceiving us until Jesus Christ returns. He wants to take our inheritance from us. He wants to take away our future. He lost his. He doesn't want us to have ours either. Revelation 12:19, you don't have to turn there, tells us that Satan is on this earth and he deceives the whole world. Satan is the master of illusions. Only his magic is deadly. It's not entertaining. Over time, mankind has become very versed in the many different ways to deceive one another, especially for their own gain. Therefore, we must be very aware of what we allow into our minds so we're not taken captive by falsehoods. Let's turn to Colossians 2, verse 8. Colossians 2, verse 8. Verse 8 reads, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of man, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Paul's given warning here to be on guard, keeping our eyes open, he wants us, being alert to the dangers of false teachers, because their kind of philosophy is void of truth. It's void of the whole truth. It's man's theory that we have to be careful of. Let's now turn to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. And we will read verses 20 and 21. And I'm going to read this passage from the Amplified Version. 1 Timothy 6, verse 20. O Timothy, guard and keep the deposit, your calling, entrusted to you. Turn away from the irreverent babble and godless chatter, and the vain and empty and worldly phrases, and the subtleties and the contradictions, and what is falsely called knowledge and spiritual illumination. Verse 21, for by making such professions, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace and blessing be with you all. Amen. Paul is pleading with Timothy to be on guard and to be faithful and protect the truth that has been given to him. It's been given to all of us. If you would, turn a few pages back over to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4, we'll read verses 2 through 4. Paul's continuing in his instruction and his encouragement to Timothy. Verse 2, Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, and they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables, lies and deceptions. Paul instructed Timothy to be consistent in his preaching and not to be afraid of doing so, because there would be a time when the world would be turned away from sound doctrine, sound teaching. A time when some would only hear what pleases them. This is important. Satan's attack on us will be to deceive us from God's truth. This is the deception that will hurt us the most. We must never compromise with God's word, and we cannot conform to the ways and the thinking of this world. Satan was a real threat to Adam and Eve, and we must be careful not to fall prey to his deceptions as they did. Satan wants to discredit God in our eyes. In our race to the end, we will face many forms of deception. Satan's big deception for us is to convince us that we do not need to do things the way God has taught us to. He wants us to believe that we can do things any way that seems right to us, what seems right to man. And we know better than that. We have to follow his instruction, his way. It's never changed. Like the magician, Satan mixes up things to deceive us. A little bit of truth, a little bit of lies. A little bit of more truth to get our attention, until we're not quite sure what to believe. We have to be alert and we have to be careful. We must be well grounded in God's truth. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as well as what he has taught us. Prove God's truth, or we could be deceived. The thing about deception is that it's designed and intended to be convincing. Therefore, we need to pray that we're not deceived. And we need to read our Bibles. And we need to talk about godly things. And we need to be thankful for our calling. And we need to remember what Christ told Satan when he was being tempted on the high mountain. And that was, we should live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Not man's ideas, not man's theories, but by God's perfect, provable truth. Brethren, stay strong in our faith. Prove all things. Hold on to truth. Christ gives us a very important warning in Matthew 24, verse 4, to those living in the end of this age. Take heed that no one deceives you. Have a great Sabbath.